So far over the summer, we've been thinking about building. We've seen how it's really Jesus who builds his church. Our part is to join in. We thought about how we need to inspect our lives to work out where we need a repair job. And we've thought about making sure Jesus is at the center when we rebuild. We've seen how we need to build with the Word and the Spirit together. And last week, we thought about the way the same God, the same Spirit, works differently in all of us. I'm afraid I'm going to be needing some water during this sermon because I'm not very well. I've got a bit of a cold. I've not got COVID, don't worry. Now, if we compare all this to building a house, we've found the plot, we've drawn up the plans, we've got permission, we've found a builder, we're ready to go. But what does it cost? What does it cost to follow Jesus? At the start of our reading, Luke tells us Jesus was hugely popular. Large crowds were travelling with him. Crowds that grew and grew until he reached Jerusalem for the last time. The thing is, though, it's easy to listen, but hard to do. It's easy to hear Jesus' words, but hard to change our lives as a result. We know, don't we, that a large part of commitment is effort. If I buy my wife some flowers or some chocolates, that's lovely. But if I only ever buy her service station flowers on my way home from work because it's convenient, the gift is cheapened because of my lack of effort. And it's like that with following Jesus. The crowds literally followed Jesus. But were they his disciples? No. Why? Because the cost was too great. Excuse me. Jesus said in verse 26, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple." Now, I don't want to let us off the hook too easily, but Jesus is exaggerating here. Of course, he isn't commanding us to hate other people, still less our own families. No. What he means is that our love for him must be so much greater than our love for others, even our own family, that it seems, in comparison, like hatred. My favourite vegetable is the humble carrot. I particularly like them roasted. My favourite meal is probably pizza. I say probably, of course it's pizza. Now, if I'm hungry and I have the choice between eating a pile of carrots and eating a pizza, which am I going to choose? Pizza. Every time. It's as if I hate carrots because I will always choose pizza over carrots. Except I don't hate them. I love carrots. I just love pizza so much more. Now, that's a silly example, but friends, the truth is, that is how we must love Jesus if we want to be his disciples. Now, I'm sure most of you will have heard and maybe even used the little phrase, "We all have our cross to bear." When we say that, we're talking about our everyday struggles. They're different for each of us, but we all have them. That is almost the opposite of what Jesus means here. The crowds listening to Jesus would not have made our mistake. When they saw a person carrying their cross, it meant that person's life was about to end. They were about to be executed on the very cross they were carrying. So, to be ready to carry our cross doesn't mean to put up with our daily troubles. No. It means being ready to give up everything for Jesus. Friends, family, money, home, security, job, everything. In some countries, still today, that is the danger Christians actually face. Here, persecution takes a more subtle and less life-threatening form, but it is no less real. It's the undermining of faith, keeping our mouth shut because we're embarrassed to admit we go to church, compromising Jesus' teachings to fit in with those around us, watering down what it means to be a Christian so it's easy for anyone to join in. That's not what Jesus did. He was totally uncompromising. Verse 33. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. Now, it may feel like Jesus is being a prima donna, demanding far more than he has a right to. I mean, it's pretty bold. If I demanded you hand over your house keys and bank details, I suspect you'd say no. But Jesus is no tin pot despot. He is the Lord of life. He alone is the way to the Father. And if he is the only way, how can it be wrong for him to tell us to abandon all other ways and follow him? If Jesus is the only safe way, is it not love for him to tell us to follow only him? Of course. Friends, this is a hard teaching. It's hard because we don't want to hear it. There's part of us that doesn't want to put Jesus first. That is called sin. And in this life, it will always be a struggle, a fight. But it is one we will win. Why? Because he already has. And that's why this is called the gospel, the good news. It doesn't depend on us. It depends on him. Jesus has already given up everything he had twice. First, he left his Father's side. He laid aside his majesty and glory and power to live on earth among us as one of us. Then, he loved us more than his own family. Then, he carried his cross. Then, he gave up everything, even the life he had left, for you. For you. So you can live. He did that for you. This is how he calls us to respond. Will you hear what Jesus says? How will you respond? Let's pray. Father, help us learn day by day to put Jesus first and to love him more than anything and anyone else. Help us respond to his call, following him wholeheartedly, unreservedly, and together.